Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show, living off with people, a variety talk show whose only mission to is to empower you.
That were only gonna bring me to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning, that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in. Our guest today, and I'm very honored to have her as a guest, Sally Ross Brown, is passionate about helping families find adaptive cycling options that really work. She is an extraordinary woman with cerebral palsy, who has been a bike rider for about 50 years. In June of 2005, Sally founded a company called Every Kid Mobility Incorporated, an innovative company that creates decorative crutching for children. Since the company started, they have collaborated with Just Two Bikes, combining offerings of a wide range of adaptive bikes in addition to their innovative creative crutches. Sally is also an author. In January of 2007, she launched her first juvenile fiction book called The Big Red Bike. At the age of 56, Sally Ross Brown is a proud mom, grandmother, avid cyclist, business owner, public speaker, and an advocate for special needs families. Welcome.
Hi, Vaughn. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
I am doing well. It's a beautiful day in Minnesota today.
Yeah.
And we don't get many.
Yeah, it's raining. It has been raining all day yesterday, and it was kind of, I'm not sure if it's supposed to rain today here in Metro Atlanta, Georgia. But either way, it's a good day.
I hear you.
I wanted to first, I was kind of hesitant about focusing on, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it
cerebral palsy.
Okay. At first I was kind of hesitant to focus on the diagnosis because I didn't want to let that be the main focus of the show because I want to talk about your book and everything. But I really think it's important for parents and individuals, whether they're teens, children, or adults with cerebral palsy or other special needs, to hear that part of your story, because I feel like it's really vital. And I want to say, before we get started, thank you so much for everything that you're doing.
It is certainly, I am very blessed to be able to do what I do.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing.
And it's an inspiration to a lot of people. For those who are not really sure what cerebral palsy is, what is it?
Well, the easiest way to explain it is it's a lot like having a stroke. And cerebral palsy happens to, usually it happens at birth or prenatally. But to get a diagnosis of cerebral palsy, you have to have some kind of brain damage between birth and age 2. And cerebral palsy is sort of a general term. It covers a lot of different specific diagnoses or levels of involvement.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like for me, obviously my speech isn't affected.
Mm-hmm.
But for some folks, you know, speech is an issue. It just kind of depends on where the damage in the brain happens.
Okay. Yeah, because I looked at, tried to do a little research on it, and it is different levels, just like Down syndrome or autism. It's so many different levels, and it is kind of hard to explain overall exactly what it is, because it's like you said, it affects different parts, and not everyone that has it or Down syndrome or autism have exactly the same challenges.
Right, and for me, my most of the effect of my cerebral palsy is on the right side of my body.
Mm-hmm.
So, like my right leg, what I say about it is, all it really does is sort of keep me from toppling over. You know, like I don't have really control over that, and I have limited use of my right hand, you know, that kind of thing. But if I keep writing and stay in pretty good shape, I am ambulatory and you know, my biggest challenge is how often am I going to fall every day? So a lot of it depends on how much I'm riding my bike and how much exercise I'm getting as to how much I'm affected.
Okay. You're a proud mom and grandmother. How many children?
I am.
Grandbabies?
I have a son that is 37 and a daughter who is 36. And I have a grandson who's 13, and we also have a set of one-year-old twins.
Wow.
Grandbabies. So it's been quite a year at our house. I'm tired.
As a woman with CP, what would you say was the most challenging in your life, and how did you overcome it?
Well, you know, I think most of my challenge, as I look at it sort of in retrospect, being 56, most of the challenge really was in my own brain. You know, was I going to let my disability limit me or affect sort of how I saw myself in the world, I think. And in some ways it was good. It seems funny now, but I spent probably the first 45 years of my life trying really hard to prove that I didn't have a disability, and sort of cut all of that off in terms of what I was willing to talk about or be about. You know, and I was always, you know, sort of felt like I had to be better at things and that kind of sort of mindset that seems odd to me now.
And I think it's important that you said that, because I think not just people with special needs, I think a lot of people mindset hold them back from a lot of things on what they believe that they are capable of doing or what other people believe that they are capable of doing, and they put limits on themselves. Not that there's not challenges, because, you know, but you can put yourself in a box.
Yeah, and I, you know, what I know now that I, like when I was a kid, I can remember thinking that if my body was perfect or my body was more typical, that everything in my life would be fine. I mean, I can remember thinking that as a kid, and you know, I look at it now, and of course that's not true.
Right.
You know, I think about everybody that I know that's typical, and they have the same exact issues, but I didn't realize that until I was much older, I think.
Wow. I'm gonna move past it, but I really think that was an important statement that you just said, and I think that I think more women than probably men do put a lot of emphasis on if I look, you know, a certain way, or if I do things a certain way, or if people don't see me in a certain light, that will make my life better. When in essence, just like you said earlier, it was your mind state that that affected everything.
Yep, I think that's really, you know, that's one of those, I call those moments of terrible clarity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it came to me one day and I just thought, oh yeah, yeah, that.
When you tell people, people that you meet or coworkers or just people in general, that you have CP, what is their response and how do you deal with it?
Well, you know, I don't generally have to tell people. I mean, once you meet me, it doesn't take you very long to realize it, that something's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's odd how people are. They will sometimes act like they don't see it, or you know, it can become the elephant in the room, sort of. And so, a lot of times, what I end up doing is making some reference to it or some joke about it, so that people sort of relax about it and we can kind of get past it. The things that are the best, you know, the easiest things for me when I meet new people or go into new circumstances is when they ask me about it right away.
Yeah.
But most people don't because they're, you know, trying to be respectful or trying to be, you know, whatever it is. And then, you know, but the truest truth is then once somebody knows me or becomes part of my life, I seriously doubt that they think about it very much.
Yeah.
You know?
Growing up, who has made the greatest impact in your life and why?
Well, probably my mother. You know, I was raised in Mississippi in this little bitty town, and my mother was she was a Southern Belle from way back. You know, she was beauty in college, and she was all these things, and sort of a perfectionist in the way that she sort of did her life. But she was determined that I was going to do anything that I wanted to do. And she, you know, I look back on it now, and think about her being, and I was born in 1952, so there wasn't like she, it wasn't like she had a lot of support, really.
Right.
And so she just kind of had to make it up. And I think about how amazing she was as a young mother, you know, really being able to fight for me. And when I was little and they started doing surgery on me, they did heel cord surgery on me. And it was very experimental, and it was very, you know, a lot of people thought she was crazy because she was willing to let them do it. And she just said, well, I have to do something. You know, if I don't, she won't be able to walk. And so she, you know, she just moved forward and did it. And she was amazing how she, you know, I can remember things like coming home from school when everybody was learning to jump rope. Remember how we used to play jump rope and two people would throw this rope and we'd all play? And I wanted to learn how to play, how to do it. And I remember her and my dad throwing the jump rope for me by the hour while I figured out a way to be able to do that. And, you know, whatever I was willing to try, she was willing to help me find a way to do it. And I, you know, it's one of those things that you don't, you know, I'm sure that I appreciate her much more now than I did when she was here and I was growing up with her.
Yeah.
But she was amazing.
And I think a for a lot of parents, a lot of moms have a hard time coping with having a child with special needs. What advice would you give that parent?
Well, here's what I, and I really believe this, and I'm going to tell you this without hoping that I don't sound like some kind of a kook, but I believe that if you come to the planet with some physical limitation of some kind or some difference, you really come at a different spiritual level. And I kind of, the way that I sort of think about it in my own brain is that, you know, this was the perfect journey for me at this time that I chose on some cosmic level that I don't even pretend to understand. And so what I know now is that living my life the way that I have lived it and continue to live it is perfect for me. You know, I wouldn't trade any of it. And, I mean, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't easy. I'm certainly not saying that, but the gifts from it today are so profound. And so what I say, and what this is what I say to my bike parents, that the journey that your kid is on is perfect for them. And I know it's a hard, hard thing to grasp because, I mean, I can remember my mother and how heartbroken she was when things were hard for me or when I couldn't do something I wanted to do. And so I sometimes wish now that I had made sure that she understood that I wouldn't trade it.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and I also think, too, that the parents are, you know, over and over and over I hear parents talk about how, you know, because of their special kids, they've become such different, wonderful people.
Yeah.
And, you know, met so many wonderful people. And so I sort of think we're all chosen. And I think that the planet is better because of us. Like, I look at my bike kids now and how amazing they are. You know, and once I sell somebody a bike, I'm kind of in it with them, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we go to birthday parties and we, you know. And they just are amazing to me. And I just think that the world is better because we're here.
Yeah.
We put up with the rest of you, but we are slightly superior, just so you know.
The book, I did go through it today. Well, I've been going through it, but I really really wanted to take a minute and sit down and go through it this morning. And the bike is called The Big Red Bike. And thinking back on when I was younger and many other listeners, I think pretty much everybody, it was it's a big deal to have a bike as a child and growing up.
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah. And the book, so what inspired you to write The Big Red Bike?
Well, the book originally started, I was taking a writing class at a community college just because I do that kind of thing. And I had written a short story about a little girl that had a bike and she walked on crutches. And about that time, I did a 350-mile bike ride on my bike. I ride a three-wheel bike. And I did the AIDS ride in Minnesota one year to honor my, I had a friend who died. And so I decided that I would do this ride in honor of him. And so I was doing this ride, and you need to understand that I was the very last person coming across the finish line. And so I spent an awful lot of time. It was a four-day trip, and I spent an awful lot of time on that trip by myself because I couldn't even see the other riders. They were, like, way somewhere else. And I started thinking about that story again, and I kind of wrote that book in my head on that bike trip. And the story is, you know, it's about a bike, and it's about a little girl, but a lot of it is really about, you know, kind of about what it's like, what the feelings are like.
Yeah.
And I really tried to focus on, you know, the story's about a little girl who has best friends, and the friends are trying to figure out how to talk about it. And one of the things that happens, I think, in when you have special needs, like I can remember thinking at some points, as wonderful as my mother was, that there were times when she was embarrassed, you know, like she wanted me to be more perfect or more traditional or more. And so it was kind of about those sorts of feelings and how it is to be in a family and find your place. And I wrote the book just because I wanted to, and I basically use it to promote my business, kind of. Like I give one to all the little girls that buy bikes for me or buy crutches for me. But I've gotten a lot of feedback from parents who talk about how wonderful it was to be able to read it with their kids and really be able to talk about that.
Yeah.
And sort of talk about the pieces that nobody wants to talk about.
Yeah. I don't want to go too deep into the story because I want people to get the book and read it to their children. But one thing that caught my attention was Savannah really wanted a bike. And I mean, it's more to the story than the bike. But her parents, she had to hide it from her parents.
Yep.
And that caught my attention because, you know, because there is a certain fear, I guess, parents have with buying a bike for their special needs child.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, how would they ride it or them getting hurt on it or whatever. But I noticed that, I mean, on the parts where her and her friends were having discussions about it, could you kind of go into the significance of her having the bike?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, it's such a fine line between, you know, keeping your children safe and letting them be the best they can be. And, you know, and it's one of those things, it seems to me, it's different every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you struggle with it. And, you know, but ultimately it's the struggle of the kid. And we have to figure out how much are we willing to do and how much are we willing to try. And so it's kind of about that. And I have been amazed since I've been putting kids on bikes at the profound difference it makes. I mean,
yeah.
I would think that I would be used to it by now, but I never am. I'm always, because it changes the kid, it changes the family dynamic, because then everybody can get out and do things together.
Yeah.
You know, it
yeah.
changes how the kids are with their friends. It's an amazing thing.
So tell us a little bit about Every Kid Mobility and what inspired you, which I think you pretty much have said. what inspired you to launch the company?
Well, I think the big thing was when I did that ride, and I was over 50, a little over 50 then, and I thought, you know, if this makes this much difference for me at 50, it's something we have to do for kids, and there's no place that you can take a special needs kid and, you know, and say, will this bike work, will this bike work, or will this one work? And so we really have tried to build that so that it can be an awful lot like any typical kid picking out a bike.
Yeah. And about the crutches, I thought it was really cool how they can, if you could tell us a little bit about the crutches
really happened because a lot of my bike kids kids tell me things because they have, all of a sudden there's an adult that is kind of like them. And a lot of them started talking about how embarrassed they were to take their crutches to school. And so I said, well, you know, let's find you some cool ones. I didn't know that nobody made them. And so I started trying to find them. One little girl named Alex wanted dragons on her crutches. And so I couldn't find them, of course. And so we invented it. And it was a long process. It took us about 2 years to figure out exactly how we could do it. But we used vinyl and laminate, and they really are beautiful. They're like works of art, kind of.
Yeah.
And we just finished a pair yesterday for a little girl who loves fairies. So she has fairy crutches.
Wow.
And so it kind of, you know, it's like everything else. It just sort of happened by accident. And now it's, and we've been doing it for about 2 years, but I didn't publicize it a whole lot just to make sure that we had a high quality product and that we could actually really produce them. So now we've gotten our production down. You know, our production is pretty solid, and we can get them out pretty quick. And so now we're starting to sort of publicize it and let people know about it. And, you know, we've sent some crutches overseas already. So that's been really fun.
And it's a really, the website, you can pick different designs, but if they want their own special designs, they can also make suggestions too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Email me or call me.
Okay. And what is that website?
The website is www.everykidmobility.com.
I spoke with a young lady about a year or so ago with cerebral palsy, and she was trying to find resources to help her launch a company. And she was telling me that it's a challenge because a lot of people that she was coming to about starting a business was like, no, you know, trying to push her into some type of service that helps you. I think it's a nonprofit, but they supposed to help you with launching a business if you have special needs and stuff like that. But the caseworker that was working with her, was trying to push her into just getting a job. And she was kind of frustrated because she was like, no, I really want to start this business. But it was just hard getting people to believe in her because they looked at, because she had cerebral palsy, as that she couldn't handle it, I guess. So what advice would you give those who have special needs that want to start their own business, or they want to write a book or have things they want to accomplish but may not have the resources around them?
Well, one of the things that I did do eventually after my company had been up a while is I got a low-interest loan from a place called Assistive Technology of Minnesota, and I've got the phone number for you. So, but they, it was some federal money that is like, I borrowed this money at like 3%, and they guaranteed it because I had special needs. And it was, they were amazing to me and really helped me with my business plan and kind of looking at how the marketing was going to work. And I think that there is probably something comparable to that everywhere.
What was the name of the company again?
It's called Assistive Technology of Minnesota. And the website is atmn.org. And the phone number is 866-535-8239.
Yeah, and I think if they would know if or Macon direct you in a, if someone's listening that want to call that have special needs and need assistance, like Adaptive, from a company like that, contacting them, they may be able to direct you in the right direction.
Yeah, or, exactly.
Yeah.
They were wonderful to me. And I, you know, I had, you know, I'm not sure that my, like I sometimes listen to Susie Orman and I think if she looked at my finances, she would just have a stroke. You know, because I took on a lot of personal debt and a lot of, I mean, it, you know, financially it was probably not the smartest thing I ever did, but, you know, we still got the doors open and I'm still making payroll, so,
yeah,
you know, so far so good.
What advice would you give parents that have a child with special needs that may want to have a dream? For example, you know, they may want addressed to them, well, my, you know, I want to start my own business, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. And the parents may, you know, have a lot to do with it as far as believing in them and pushing them and stuff like that. Well, let me back up for one quick second before I ask my question so I can make myself clear. When I went to IEP with Zion, and, you know, one of the ladies there who was over the entire county said that, you know, let's just face it, he may, you know, just be bagging, you know, groceries kind of, in so many words. And I stopped everything right there and said, we're all of us, everybody in this room is a team. And if we don't believe in him, and if y'all are teaching him and y'all don't believe in him, then, you know, there's a problem. You know, there's a problem. If that's all you feel like he can do, then you don't believe that he can go beyond that, and it's going to affect how you educate him. You know, so I guess my question is, you know, because I think a lot of parents, you know, they take their child to school and they may feel like, well, you know, because you have professionals telling us that all our kids can be is this. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I think that is important, is vital that parents say no and push beyond that. So in saying that, what do you have to say about what I just said?
Well, they told my mother when I was like 3 that they thought I was probably retarded. That was the word they used back then. And really, you know, told her not to expect much. And I think that if she had bought that, if she had believed it, you know, my life would have been profoundly different. And so I think that it's, like I have a little, I have a friend named Jack, and he's about 9, and I adore him. And he has CP, and he has some sensory problems, and he, like for instance, he can't, if I'm talking to him, he can't look at me and take in what I'm saying at the same time. But if he looks away and just processes the sound of my voice, he immediately gets it. And so the teachers assumed that he wasn't listening. And I have watched his mother over and over and over go back to the school and say, no, it's not that he's not listening. This is how he has to process what you're saying. And it matters most of all how willing the parents are to just sometimes be obnoxious. You know, you just have to be fearless about it, and you just and the other thing is, you know, I think that's important is to realize that it is okay to be sad about the kids you didn't get. You know, I'm sure that my mother, when she had a daughter, what she wanted was a beauty queen athlete because that's what she was. And at some point in her life, I think she, you know, she just had to be sad about that. And it didn't mean she didn't love me. It just meant that the plan that she had for her life wasn't going to be exactly what it was. And so I think part of making peace and being able to be a good advocate for your kid is to give yourself permission to feel all of that.
Yeah.
You know, and to be mad and to be sad and to be embarrassed when you're embarrassed and to, you know, and to feel isolated and all of that. But it's parents' responsibility to somehow get past that, do what they
right.
have to do to make peace with that. And
right. Yeah, I absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that you don't beat yourself up for feeling a certain way or feeling, you know, like I've heard parents say, well, I get frustrated and maybe I shouldn't because no, you're still a parent. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get, so I absolutely agree with what you're saying. You're saying feel it, but don't stay there.
Yeah.
Stay there and continue to focus on why are you feeling that? Why are you feeling that? Because it's about the kid, but it's also about you growing as a parent too, and as a person, and you correcting the things that the fears or stuff like that. That's going to help you grow as an individual and make you a better parent. But not if you don't recognize it, or if you're so ashamed of feeling that way that you keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I absolutely agree with what you're saying.
You know, and then the one other thing that I think is important, you know, I mean, there were times and still are times now where I am mad that I can't be an athlete or be something that I'm not. And I think it's important for parents to let their kids feel however they feel about it. You know, that was the biggest hassle that I had with my own parents was if I was feeling sad or feeling mad or feeling sorry for myself, they just couldn't. It was so painful for them that it was very hard for them to get to the point where they could say, well, however you feel about this today is okay too.
Right.
And so it was, that was hard, was, you know, giving my own, myself permission to feel however I felt and then still keep moving.
Yeah. You do, in addition to the business, the Creative Crutches, which is patented, correct?
Yep.
In addition to that, the business, the adaptive bikes and everything you have going on, you also do public speaking and advocacy. What is the overall message that you want parents or individuals with special needs to get?
Well, I think the overall message is that whatever, you know, whatever life you have and whatever limitations or things that look like limitations you have are perfect for you. And it's the very best life that you can have, and you have lessons to learn and things to do and things to accomplish and the world to change. And that's the most important thing, is to just show up and do it.
Yeah, I like that. Show up and do it. I like that.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much for joining me today, for everything that you're doing for with the bikes and the crutches and stuff like that, because I think it was very important. And I love the fact that you saw it wasn't being done and you went out and did it. I love that. But I want to thank you so much for joining us and sharing your story. And I'm sure it will inspire a lot of parents, and as well as give hope and inspiration to those with CP and other special needs. So thank you so much.
Well, you are most welcome, and thank you very much for having me. I so appreciate it.
Give that website one more time.
www.everykidmobility.com.
Thank you.
Thank you, Yvonne.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you for tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to let us know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit us at www.hyhradio.com. Remember to keep God first. Know that you are blessed, and always be true to yourself. I love you. God loves you. Thank you for listening.